Faith and doubt are rulers in their own right. They cannot coexist for long, as one will eventually dispel the other. Doubt mishandled can lead a Christian to look to themselves, their problems, limitations, and failures. Faith cultivated, on the other hand, can give power to the believer in the living God who can make all things possible. Which ruler are you cultivating in your heart, in your mind, and in your life today? This morning, as we look through the lens of Genesis 18, we will be observing Sarah's struggles with doubt, and we'll aim to discover how her faith was restored through an encounter with God. Today, we will tackle these three main points. What is doubt, and why is it dangerous for the Christian's faith? Who is behind doubt, and how can we overcome doubt? Before we begin, let's ask the Lord for his blessing and his wisdom. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful Sabbath day. Thank you that we can come together to worship you and to praise you. I ask for the Holy Spirit's presence today as we open your word. Guide us and help us understand the message. In your precious name I pray, amen. Okay. So my first point, what is doubt and why is it dangerous for the Christian faith? For us to be able to effectively overcome falling into doubt, we need to understand what doubt actually means and why we so easily fall into it. So what is doubt? The Oxford Dictionary describes doubt as a feeling of uncertainty or a lack of conviction, having lack of faith and fear. So what does the Bible have to say about doubt? The definition of doubt in the Bible can be found in James 1, verses 5 to 8. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the waves of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Doubt can be the greatest threat to one's faith. Many of us can be led to questioning his existence, goodness, divine power, and love for us. And eventually, we will no longer have that same confidence in him. And we could possibly turn our backs to him. On the other hand, though, it can also give us a powerful experience, strengthening our faith and commitment with God. Turn to the Bible with me, to the scripture passage today, which is found in Genesis 18, verses 1 to 15. I'm reading the New King James Version, and it's up on the screen. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little waver be brought, water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts and that you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took the butter and the milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in their age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.'" But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh." In this passage, we find that Sarah is caught red-handed. Her immediate doubt in God's infinite power caused her to laugh with disbelief. How often has he put something, a hope, a dream, a plan, into our hearts, but you and I have so easily dismissed them because we wholeheartedly believe that we're too old or too young or simply just not good enough. Have you ever doubted in God's infinite power to do the seemingly impossible? I know I certainly have. A few years ago, I remember attending one of the witness conferences, and it was John Lomican who was one of the speakers at that time, and he really caught my attention. His message about God and music really spoke to me. So I remember really feeling very spiritually fed, and by the end of that service, I felt the presence of God, and I was convicted. It was convicting me to be a bit more cautious about the type of music I listened to. On that same day, when I got home, I turned on my laptop. And something was telling me, the Holy Spirit was telling me, delete all your worldly music. And so I turned on my laptop and I opened up iTunes. On my screen, there was about 3,000 plus songs or more, my favorite hits. And as I moved my mouse towards the delete button or the rubbish tab thing, I remember... just when I was about to click, my laptop shuts down. And I remember that my laptop was fully charged and that there was no reason for it to shut down. At that moment, I realized I was not alone. And I felt goosebumps all around my arms. And as I stood up, something fell off the top bench of my cupboard. And at this point, I just ran. I ran so fast. I ran to my brother's room. He was the only one in the house. So the point I'm trying to get here is that instead of having that faith and trusting that God would protect me on that day, I ended up feeding my doubts and fears and questioning his divine power. I had a lack of faith in him. We must recognize that our limitations do not limit God. Genesis 18:14 says it perfectly. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is clear, a resounding no. Time and time again, we read of God's awe-inspiring power in the stories of old. You may be in an impossible situation with no hope of it getting better, but God has Oh, God can do the impossible. Yes, Sarah was too old. Yes, perhaps David was too young. Yes, perhaps Paul hated the church. And Moses was not a public speaker by all means. But God used them all. Nothing is impossible with him. What's encouraging about Sarah and her story is that despite the seasons of doubt, this did not define her. In the end, she became a woman known for her faith, listed among many other great faiths like her in Hebrews 11. It's so easy to judge people for their unbelief. However, if you place yourself in Sarah's shoes, you would understand that her doubt was not without good reason. You see, God had given Abraham the promise of becoming a father of nations on several occasions, and we find this in Genesis 12, 13, and 15. He told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a son and would be the mother of many nations. At this time, Abraham was already 99 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. Like many of us today, Sarah doubted because she focused on her circumstances rather than God's loving promise. Her inability to have a child had cast a dark shadow over her life. Her hopes for having a child had been deferred for so long that she started to second-guess herself. You can imagine the potential thoughts running in her mind. God said that Abraham would be a father of nations, but maybe that doesn't include me. Her heart was sick. It was impatient and it had a lot of doubt and insecurity, which caused her faith in God's promise to decrease almost to the point of non-existence. Sarah decided to turn to human solution in order to bring about a supernatural promise. She found someone that she felt was more fitting for the role, and that was her servant, Hagar was, she was young, she was fertile, and everything that Sarah was not. She saw in her everything that would logically be needed to bring forth God's promise. Sarah tells Abraham that the Lord had restrained her from having children and asked him to sleep with Hagar. Despite Sarah's best efforts, scheming and plotting, God's promise was not accomplished through Abraham and Hagar. Yes, they did have a son, but he was not the chosen vessel through which God wanted to establish his promise. God did not choose Hagar, he chose Sarah, and this is confirmed later in the chapter through the birth of Isaac. The most hurtful part for Sarah would have been the child of which Hagar bore, a constant reminder of her lack of faith, wasted time and energy. What about you? Has God given you a promise that is taking longer than you thought it would? Are you now contemplating doing things your way and taking matters into your own hands? Are you doubting that your problems are too big for God to handle? Remember, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Everything will be established in his appointed time. You may have plans in your heart like Sarah did, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Surrender to him, stay faithful to his promise that he has given to you, and he will be faithful to complete it. This brings me to my next point. Who is behind doubt? Now, there are two deceivers that plant seeds of doubt into our hearts and our minds. In Revelation 12, verse 9, it says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Satan is the greatest deceiver. He is the liar, and he will take the truth from us. Satan plans to doubt, plans the doubts into our minds, but it's up to us to stop it from getting to our hearts. Satan and the evil spirits can use powers of suggestion to bring thoughts of doubts to our minds. We all know that in the very beginning, Satan deceived Eve and placed thoughts of doubts in her mind to create a state of questioning, confusion, uncertainty, and lack of conviction to God's word. In Genesis 3, verse 1, it reads, "Now the serpent was craftier than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from that tree in the garden?' And it wasn't until Eve submitted to his suggestion that she sinned. If the devil can get us to doubt even the smallest truth, we can get off course and get shipwrecked. Not only can Satan deceive us, we too can also be our own worst enemy. In Jeremiah, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick." Our own hearts are desperately wicked, and it is a reminder of the selfishness and pride that we have inherited of the human race ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. The Bible refers to the bent towards, to this bent towards sin and evil as the flesh, the sinful nature, the old man, and the carnal mind. So pervasive is the impurity of our natural hearts that the Apostle Paul declares, "For I know that in me nothing good dwells. Apart from God, the height of humanity's righteousness is still entirely impure. We are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags." The natural heart or mind is so hopelessly hostile towards God that it cannot be cured. Paul writes, "The carnal mind is the enmity against God, for it is not the subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And this brings me to my final part. How can we overcome doubt? Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Have faith. Stop wavering and start believing. Against all hope, Abraham chose to believe. Regardless of his situation, he chose to give glory to God. He did not waver through unbelief and was fully convinced that God's power could fulfill his promise. Through this experience, Abraham was able to strengthen his faith. Once you've done that, ask God, or act on faith. Act on a measure of faith that God has already placed in your hearts. Look beyond the current circumstances of your life to the blessings that God has for you in the new future. If the Holy Spirit impresses you to do something, do it, believe it, and you will be richly blessed. The next point, study God's word. The Holy Spirit can grow your faith as you study God's word. Believe in the Spirit who inspired the Bible, and it will accomplish miraculous changes. And lastly, apply God's promises. Apply the promises of God to your life today. Receive the benefits of the Bible individually. Put yourself in the story. What lesson is the Holy Spirit trying to reveal to you? What insights for daily living is he revealing? Oh, sorry, I just said that. What conviction is he bringing to your mind? As we come to a close, my question for you is simple. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God was able to use Sarah's faith and obedience to turn what seemed to be a hopeless situation and a devastating mistake into a legacy we can cherish. If God can do it for Sarah, He can do it for you too. We all must learn to lay down all the aspects of the flesh and be transformed in the image and likeness of God. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When you choose to follow God, your mind can be completely transformed. You can overcome your fears and your doubts when you walk in total faithfulness. Choose you this day and tell me, who will you serve? No one can serve two masters. Either one will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6, 24. So, who will you serve today? A decision to follow God's word is necessary in order to have that experience of spiritual growth. Jesus is inviting you to follow him. How would you like to respond to his invitation? If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Are you ready to commit your heart fully and your mind fully to him? Today, I choose God, and I pray that you choose him too. Thank you.